thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Stover!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman! Oh my goodness, you guys. Thanks for coming out to our very last show at the People's Improv Theater. After 5 years, we are leaving. In case you guys didn't hear, we are leaving next week. We're going to have a show at Pianos.
Pianos!
Pianos, all the way downtown.
It's so sad. 5 years ago, I asked them to put a ghostly curtain and a red door on our stage, and they just did it this week.
And I don't know, you guys probably can't see this, but on the pillars facing the stage, it says, "Follow the fear," which I understand is an improv quote, but it's terrifying.
Yeah,
it is scary.
That's all. But next week, we are moving down to Pianos. The show is going to be Tuesdays, 7:30 at Pianos, absolutely free.
Pianos.
And as announced over the weekend at WonderCon, it's going to be filmed as part of the brand new Nerdist channel on YouTube.
Jeez.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. It's going to be at youtube.com/Nerdist. The lineup is crazy. Did you hear about the lineup?
Yeah, it's us and Weird Al Roker. Is that what it was?
No. Yes, you're right.
I knew it.
The weather with Weird Al Roker.
I've loved all of Al Roker's song parodies.
Some of the other shows on the channel, there's going to be a Weird Al Yankovic show, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Him interviewing celebrity guests. There's going to be Kids in the Hall are doing a show.
Those old guys?
Crazy.
Those old fellas?
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris is doing a show with puppets.
Oh, yeah.
And then also there's a comic book talk show.
Hey, no, it's us!
Yeah, that's us! So that's going to be great. You guys can
Are
come...
Are we going to replace with, like, good-looking women? Or puppets, for that matter?
We're being replaced with Neil Patrick Harris, Weird Al Yankovic, and the Kids in the Hall.
Yeah! Finally!
Downgrade.
Boothman's dreams coming true.
Yeah, anyway, we're very excited about that.
Yes.
You can come see the live show, of course, because you guys are in New York, or starting April 2nd, Nerdist Channel is going to be launching online, so that's going to be awesome. Yeah. But
we'll be going up on Wednesdays.
Yeah, we're going to be going up on Wednesdays. You know, new comic book day, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That worked out really nicely.
Yeah.
But enough plugs out of the way. We've got a live show for you guys tonight with an amazing guest. We're very excited to have him come all the way from the ends of the earth to our show.
Oh,
the writer of Amazing Spider-Man, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Slott! Fancy, right? All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you coming back. I don't know if you heard the little ends of the earth joke we made. You came from the ends of the earth.
Yes.
No, I stole that from Justin, who put up the Facebook invite.
Yeah, that's
I wanted
true.
To give you credit for the joke.
Thank you. Thank you for coming back. That I know.
Yeah. Hello.
So let's talk about Ends of the Earth, which is the big new Spider-Man arc that is starting tomorrow.
Yes.
Say no more.
Good.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Dan Slott.
We just wanted to confirm the shipping date.
Coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, we have every comic book writer who has a comic coming out tomorrow. They're going to come out one after the other and be like, yes, it is. Goodbye. So, Ends of the Earth pits Spider-Man against the Sinister Six.
It's Dr. Octopus's master plan. We've been slowly killing him since issue 600.
You hate him.
Yes. Every issue we go in, we surgically remove just a little bit more of Dr. Octopus.
Well, and it's funny. I've been noticing that, and I'm just like, how much sicker can he get every time? I'm starting to feel bad for him.
I know. I think this issue starts with him coughing up blood.
Ooh.
So he's got like this much time left.
So do you hate octopi or doctors?
Both. No, Jews.
Oh, wow. Now we'll definitely have to ask you to leave.
Cool. That's our pull quote from the show.
Imagine the big reveal at the end of Ends of the Earth. It's just a huge anti-Semitic rant by Dan.
And what happens is Spider-Man's like, you know what? I was going to stop you, but I agree.
Yeah. Dan, we got to talk about your issue.
Oh God, I can get away with this because I'm self-hating. So.
Me too, Dan. Me too.
Thank you, Boothman.
Yeah.
Actually known as Boothman.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. For one.
Like Spider-Man.
Yankel Boothman in the back.
He's dying, and we've known this and since issue 648, the start of Big Time. We know he's been putting together piece by piece this master plan. This is his bucket list, and it's got two words on it: the world. That's all he wants. He's going. Mm-hmm. One last big master plan. He's going to go out in style, and you're going to find out tomorrow what that master plan is.
Now, I'm curious, and this is going to sound kind of stupid saying it out loud, but as a writer trying to construct a master plan, well, that's going to be kind of difficult to do that because you have to actually come up with the tricky master plan yourself.
Sometimes there are problems with that.
Yeah.
Like I had a story in the Initiative where Flag Smasher was out to destroy the Liberty Bell. And this new group of Philadelphia team, for the symbol, because he's Flag Smasher and he's evil.
He did know that a bell is not a flag, right?
Yes.
He's trying to rebrand. It's hard to smash a flag.
Yes. So he, this new group of Philadelphia teenage superheroes, the Libertines.
Nice, good
name. Thank you. I get it. Classy name.
Thank you. Yeah, whenever they're off camera, they're just doing each other.
Dan Slott revealing so much about his process.
No,
we actually work on that. Yeah. They're just doing each other.
I'm calling the Liberty Bell Center. And, you know, this is just a couple years ago, so we're well after, you know, 2001. I'm like, okay, yeah, so is there security glass in front of the Liberty Bell? Is it bulletproof? what colors do the guards wear for reference?
Yeah, I'm reading a comic book about teens fucking each other.
Do the guards there, just for reference, do they have guns at the Liberty Center?
Now, are any of them Jews?
And you're getting this is for a comic book. Yes, this is for a comic book. And halfway through, you hear yourself, you're like, what am I doing?
So you started coming up with evil plans and then got into comics?
Yes. Yeah, well, actually, I was talking to Associate Editor Lauren Sankovic about something, and she's like, you've been doing this your whole life, haven't you? Because there are all these little schemes and plans that I've been doing. Like, do you guys like Michael Moorcock, Elric, and that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was a kid in high school, in my Dungeons and Dragons phase, I loved all the Michael Moorcock books. And we had this sign, and I was going to my high school is in London, and we had this sign up in the library that said, "Do you want any local authors to come talk here?" And it had like a suggestion box. And I had seen Michael Moorcock at London's Forbidden Planet doing a signing, and I was in line with everyone. I just got the quick, you know, the signature, and on to the next guy. And I was like, man, Michael Moore. And he mentioned that he lived in London. I was like, he's a local author. So one day I just grabbed all these tons of pens and different paper, and I sat in the library doing different signatures, Michael Moorcock, and stuffing the box. So they thought that like 400 kids in the school wanted Michael Moorcock to come and speak. And they called him up, and they arranged everything with his agent, and they got him to come, and it was me and like five friends from Dungeons and Dragons sitting in the front row of the whole empty auditorium. And Michael Moorcock is just standing there on the stage going, maybe we should take this somewhere more private. And we went to a pub. It was great. And I got to hang out out with like a couple hours with Michael Moorcock. I was like,
school,
awesome.
School in England is way cooler. Yeah,
no, but it was like always doing like some weird little scheme. And then recently there have been this thing where people are asking about like college.
There's been this string of robberies in New York. I've been masterminding them.
You know, like they're now offering like the next wave of college interns, and I used to be a Marble College intern, and because of the way I got into the program, they've now sealed that door shut, and you can't get in the Dan Slott way. And now because everyone has to fill out all these forms and do all this paperwork, and when I meet interns, they're like, "That was because of you."
What did you do?
I lied. I graduated from college, and I heard about the internship program too late, and I went and I applied. And I was only in there for like a couple minutes, and they're like, "Oh, they're about to take me to an office," and they're like, "And what college do you go to?" And I went, "Oh, I just graduated from." "Oh, we can't use you. You know, it's an unpaid internship, and we give you college credit." "I don't care." And they're like, no, you have to go. And then I came back to New York. I was in New York for the internship interview for one of my sister's weddings. And then the other sister, their twins, got married 6 months later. And
which you also orchestrated.
Yeah, totally. So I figured they weren't going to remember me. So I came back, and I had all these phony
mustaches?
Yeah. And I told them I lied. I told them I was going to the college I already graduated from, and they took me in. And then I was the intern who didn't leave because I didn't have to go back to college.
Yeah.
Nobody
like,
ever...
What are you studying?
Yeah, nobody ever asked.
I was staying there slightly longer than most interns had, and they came up to me and they went, we have an open staff position. We think you'd be great for it, but you have to go back to college.
And you were like, whoosh, exactly. No.
Exactly. I went, I lied.
Yeah, I'm 35 years old.
So you told them they lied, and they're like, great, you're hired?
Yes. Marvel.
So let's get back talking about Ends of the Earth. So obviously this is a big, global, gigantic thing that's taking place all over the world. How much does it take Spider-Man out of his element when he doesn't have skyscrapers to swing from?
Completely out of his element. This is the fun. You always want to do something that's like a twist. Like with Spider-Island, it's everyone gets spider powers. Great power, great responsibility. Now everyone has your great power. You always want to do something that takes your character and puts them in a new position. And Spidey is this quintessential New Yorker hero. And now we're just throwing him everywhere. He's just going all over the globe dealing with this big threat. He's completely out of his element.
Where are we going to see him?
We're going to see him in Rome. We're going to see him in Spain. We're going to see him we're in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Nice.
That's where Sandman is.
He's very powerful there.
Yeah,
exactly.
If this was a video game, you'd definitely say Sandman would be on the sand level, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we actually got some crap for the last issue of Spider Island. We were just shameless, and the name of that story was Boss Battle. It's exactly what it was. It was just like, you've reached level 6.
So, with the Sinister Six characters, Spider-Man has also gone up against them so many different times.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult is it to come up with new iterations of him fighting the same people over and over?
Well, this is a new group. There are some classic characters that are missing and some new ones in there. This is the first time the Rhino's been in the Sinister Six.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Joe Kelly Rhino who lost his wife. He's like, oh, tortured soul.
Angry Rhino.
First time Chameleon's ever been in the group. I have so much fun. Every time Chameleon shows up, who's he going to be in disguise? So we've already seen him as Steve Rogers. And I'm really happy with who you're going to see him in Chapter 2.
You can just say it.
We almost
he really almost.
I think I know what it is. I think he's in disguise as the Chameleon.
Oh.
No one would see that coming. Lifts up the mask. It's like a second.
Same mask.
What?
That's actually, it's a total sidetrack. That is one of my least favorite things when people in superhero comics are pretending to be somebody else and they're like, ha ha, they take off their mask and they're wearing goggles and another mask underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite was, or when it's a character who isn't a master of disguise and they just have the rubber mask and it's really good. And like Wolverine didn't tell. It's like, come on. No, but it's the, you remember when Geoff Johns, in his run of Avengers, like the Secretary of State was named Del Rusk. And he was really the Red Skull.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're in a major government building. You're surrounded by Secret Service. No one went, Del Rusk?
Do they test anagrams of names of people?
They should.
Well, you have to imagine supervillains are spending most of their time on the anagram finder online being like, what should I name myself today? What would be fun?
Did you guys ever, there's like an issue in like the 300s and it was like a two-parter with Nova 12 or something where Spider-Man teamed up and Nova had this pesky uncle that was really into anagrams and riddles. And when he first meets Peter Parker, he goes, you're really a superhero, aren't you? And he's like, And he's, your name can also be Cree Trapper. Like, you're a strange man.
Yeah.
Oh, but he dies, and he does that thing that everyone does in, like, Columbo and Murder, She Wrote, where he has, like, 10 minutes, so he, instead of just writing, this guy killed me, he makes all these elaborate clues. It's like, oh, the master of anagrams left us 12 pieces of puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just say that.
It's a legacy.
You want to go out on a high note.
He ripped out the last 6 months of the calendar, and that's what's in his hand. And the first letter of each month spells out, July, August, September, October, November, December. Jason D.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. So
he's dying, and that's what he thought
of. Convenient, though. That's really...
He didn't have a pen?
He didn't have a pen.
But if you're dying and you're like, you know what? It spells it.
I'm just gonna do it.
The last 6 months.
Kind of thought.
It's a long death, maybe.
I'm actually at this point. I think I'm gonna die. Try to die near a calendar and have a guy named Jason D. kill me. So it's gonna be super cool. Yeah, it's real cool.
That's a weird question to ask, like mild mannered Jason D.
Jason, yes.
Would you kill me?
Jason Del Rusk, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna have Slam Dot kill me later on.
No.
So, Ends of the Earth, what can you tease with the arc? What is Spider-Man going to be like at the end of this arc?
Ooh, he will be in a different emotional place.
Whoa. Because he's going to be proud of his full passport.
Yes. Look at all these frequent flyer miles.
That's great. He can go anywhere.
So, yeah, no, he's going to be in a very different place after this. This story will have a major effect on Spider-Man.
Yeah, and let's talk about the first issue that comes out tomorrow. What can you tease us that's going to happen?
New suit!
Yeah.
I love the new suits. We're having fun because Peter Parker is now working at this major high-tech lab, and he has all these resources. So, like, if you're reading a Batman comic, you don't blink an eye if suddenly Batman shows up when he's out in the snow in a bat snow suit. Because Bruce Wayne, he's got like a giant closet full of every kind of possible Batman suit. And for the first time, like for the longest time in Spider-Man, if he got like a suit, it would be that suit for like, you know, 18 months or 2 years. And it would be something. No, now in big time, I need a suit for rollerblading. I'll build one.
Who doesn't?
There you go. Yeah, it's just like he Iron Man used to have the little.
No, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't need a separate suit because he built it right in.
Yeah,
exactly. So he is constantly designing new suits, and he's known since the last big Fantastic Four team up Spider-Man had that the Sinister Six are active and what members are currently in their roster. So he's been effectively building the anti-Sinister Six suit.
So it's his
giant Swiss Army knife of a suit to specifically deal with the Sinister Six.
So if he has that, the arc is one issue long.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's like, and effective. Yeah. Done.
So his new emotional state is satisfaction.
Pretty damn good.
He's
One of the things on the suit plays the pimp music.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's a pimp suit, if you will.
Oh, right.
Sorry, Boothman. Let's talk about the arc that's happening after Ends of the Earth, which is the big Lizard arc. So Spidey isn't really getting a break. He's going up against the Lizard and Morbius, right?
He's conveniently going up against the villain who's in the major motion picture this summer.
It's almost like we planned it.
Wow. Captain Stacy, you say?
Yes. And Gwen's corpse.
I think he's going to win that fight.
No. No, I can't fight her. This lizard's just using it like a baton. He's like smacking him with it. Now.
He is controversial. Very controversial. Yeah.
He should have built an anti-ex-girlfriend's corpse suit.
I think Daredevil has the market on that suit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he did.
You ought to see Matt Murdock's Facebook page, like in a relationship. Yet no.
It's complicated.
Little X's.
It's complicated.
So he's going up against the Lizard, and this is the more monstrous, more dangerous Lizard.
The last time we saw the Lizard was in Zeb Wells' story Shed,
right,
where it's one of the most disturbing sequences. He, after all these years of saving Billy Connors from the Lizard, Spider-Man screws up, and the Lizard eats him. It's horrible. He eats his own son. Sure. For kids.
Comics are for kids.
For kids.
Yep.
To eat on. But you get this, when that happened, it destroyed every last piece of humanity in the Lizard. Kurt Connors is gone. He's dead. All that remains is the Lizard. Or so we think.
Oh.
Which is why the story is called No...
Spooky lights.
Called No Going Back.
Ooh.
Which, with a little dot, dot, dot question mark.
Ooh.
And then under that, but seriously, no going back.
No, no.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, but really, no.
Sometimes.
It's a really long title.
It will be the lizard and Michael Morbius, the living vampire.
I really thought you were going to say Michael Moore for a second.
Yes, I thought you said Michael Moore when you said Michael Moorcock earlier. And I was like, uh-oh.
But it's really the chameleon.
Yeah.
And then following that up is Spider-Man's 50th anniversary, the 50th anniversary of Amazing Fantasy number 15, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We are doing something very special for Spider-Man's 50th anniversary story-wise, where we're doing something that's a throwback to Amazing 15. How? Why? What? Huh? You're gonna have to read it.
But
we're having two big 50th anniversary issues this year. We have on the anniversary of Amazing 15, we're doing a two-part story where the first part is exercised, a little bit. It's a little bit exercised, and then at the end of the year, we're gonna hit Spider-Man 700, which will be supersized, and that'll be our big end of the year blowout, where something incredibly, massively huge in the history of Spider-Man happens,
which is
he gets laid
so much. There's so much going on with Spider-Man.
But it's almost like it's his 50th year.
Yeah, something like
that. I know
he's so old.
He is
cool.
But yeah, so it's something really. When you guys are reading your Marvel books, right?
Of course.
And you know about AVX.
Yeah.
When AVX is done, when AVX is over, something's going to happen at Marvel where it's going to be a seismic change.
Like an earthquake.
No reboot. Yeah. No reboot.
An earthquake.
No reboot. But there's
just a boot.
There's
in the last issue, does the Scarlet Witch whisper, "No more Jews"? What? I'm Jewish. I'm allowed to say this, I think.
Yeah, no.
All right.
And to be fair, Dan's pitched that so many times, I have to use it.
Yes. What if the comic industry were created by Goyim? Completely different. You're talking to the man who created in She-Hulk the law firm Goodman, Lieber, Kurtzberg. Because it's like, I love all this stuff. It's great.
Yeah.
We love the Jews.
So seismic shift after AVX, and that's going to move forward to Spider-Man as well.
And and around that time is Spider-Man 700. So there's going to be a lot of big things happening at Marvel at that huge. So the thing in Spider-Man 700 is it's epic.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to it tomorrow.
Amazing. I believe him.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
I guess we'll just wait and see.
You guys seem like maybe like you don't believe.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 682 hits tomorrow.
After 700 comes out, I'm just going to Salman Rushdie my ass and go into hiding. It's going to be like, oh my God.
So you think the fans are going to hate you?
I think a section of fandom will go, what the hell? Which can be good.
Right. Yeah, I know. Sure. Five years ago, during One More Day, when Pete's heart was broken.
Yep.
He's certainly recovered from that.
Nope.
Oh.
No, I have not.
Never.
That was a ridiculous thing.
I really thought tonight was the beginning of the night. He's like, you're right. I'm over it.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it up, by the way.
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
It's been a really wonderful 5 years. So Amazing Spider-Man 682 hits tomorrow, ends the
tomorrow.
Year. Pick it up, everybody, and we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack. Yeah! We won it. So, if it's your first time at the show, on The Stack, I was about to say something about, if it's your first time at the show, and there's no more show, except there's show next week, so it doesn't matter.
Here.
Yeah, just not here, different place. We have each made a pick, some comic book we particularly like this week, and we're going to go to bat for it. First one is The Secret History of D.B. Cooper, number one, and that's Pete's pick.
Yeah.
Pete!
You want to talk about this comic in the most general terms possible?
Yes.
No, use specifics.
Oh, okay, damn it. I hate specifics. What I was sad to find out is you had suggested that there was a drug element to this book, where I just thought it was a guy who talked to a bear and then murdered people in his world that actually affected the real world. So yeah,
right,
I was confused.
That's what drugs do.
I was confused when you said, no, that's drugs. So
well, the last four pages are him like he lays down in bed, and this guy's like, "Should I put the drugs in your eye now?" And he's like, "Please put the drugs in my eye."
Oh, so that was actual drugs,
right?
Yeah. Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. Wait. So you believe the talking of the teddy bear and the murdering stuff, but you're like, he's not really doing drugs.
He's not really doing drugs.
That part's not real.
I thought it was.
I don't believe in that shit.
Because when I go to bed, I have to put I have to inject things in my eyes so they'll close. So I just thought that's what everybody else did.
I don't even know how to follow up on that.
Those are also drugs.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Or cement.
Yeah, that stops you from killing your like wife and everyone else in your building. Yeah.
Cool. What did you think about this book, Justin?
I liked it. So the way D.B. Cooper was he hijacked a plane. This is a true this actually happened.
Yeah.
Hijacked a plane and
he's still on the FBI most wanted list.
He got away. Back in 1971, I think, he got $200,000 and two parachutes, jumped out of a plane and vanished. And he's never been found. So this is Agent D.B. Cooper is sort of the star of this. And he is some sort of agent. He takes these drugs and then someone is murdered. We don't know why or what's going on, but he's like sort of a tripping balls killer.
Yeah, basically.
Which has been a dream of mine for many years.
Yes, you're really progressing very far along the road towards that, by the way. So, this is a great book. I thought this was a lot of fun. Really, like we're saying, very trippy concept. The visuals are awesome in this book, particularly the dream world with the teddy bear and traveling through. Very cool, very interesting stuff. And I'm very curious to see how it turns out. This is obviously leading up to show what happened and why he ended up on that plane. And we're going to eventually jump forward to that point. So a really interesting series, and I'm curious to see what happens.
Is it a series or a mini?
I don't know.
I believe it's a limited series.
Yeah, I think it's a limited series. But if you buy it, I'm sure there's a possibility for ongoing because that's how things work.
Yeah, and the person has an ongoing life.
Or does he?
Ooh. Yeah, life's sort of like a limited
series.
They
can just keep spinning it out. It could be like the secret agent.
Yeah.
You know, like Secret Agent Amelia Earhart. And
right.
Secret Agent, they just...
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys hear, by the way, they restarted the search for Amelia Earhart today?
When you...
What?
Nothing. some news from Amelia Earhart. She, let me tell you guys, I've been waiting a long time to bring this up, but
she
was a woman.
Ooh,
but it's still missing.
Yeah.
Read my blog.
It's a Tumblr. All right, let's move on.
That's
with
a very cool name for a blog.
Thank you. It's a Tumblr.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
Cool. It just retumbles other Tumblrs, pictures of them. Batman and Robin, number 7, is...
Yes.
Justin's pick, that man.
Loves it. That guy loves it.
Yeah.
That's great. Talk about this book. What did you like about it?
So this is Batman and Robin. Everyone's so over the moon for Scott Snyder's Batman. I am as well. Let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
This is also very good, though. I feel like people aren't reading it as much, perhaps.
You say you're like in the orbit of the moon rather than going all the way over the moon?
What?
Yeah. I'm in the dark side of the moon.
Sorry.
I'm lost in the
dark of the moon.
I'm lost in the Bermuda Triangle of the moon.
Oh, nice.
So in this, it's Batman and it's Bruce Wayne and Damian, and there's been this assassin from Batman's past, and he's killing people. Damian's like, "I'll kill people with you if you want," and he's like, "Cool." And then they go around, and he's like, the Morgan, I think is his name, is like, "Kill this guy," and Damian's like, "Nope." And then they fight, and then at the end of this is great panel at the end of this issue.
Dude,
we're
talking about great. That was really fucked up. It wasn't great.
It was great. Can mean good and bad.
Wait, what?
It's just beans big. So in the very last panel, they finally catch Morgan, and Batman's like, "Great, Damian, let's go home." And then Batman looks back, and Damian has put his hand through the dude's head. And he's like, "I'm sorry, Father, for I have sinned." And it was like,
"Well, forgive me,
sweet.
Father.
Forgive
That's
me,
fucked
Father.
Up. That's not great."
It was cool.
I can't believe you read that and you were like, "Great! That is great!"
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I got to say, of all comics that I read this week, I thought you would appreciate that more than anyone.
This is really a 20-page comic. And 6 pages are splash pages.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They're pretty
six
sweet.
Pages.
Slash
but the
pages
art's great.
This is a third of a bowel movement right here.
Oh.
Dan, you need to go to the doctor.
I do. No, this bugs the hell out of me when you have a book that has like 6 splash pages. Because they're like 20 pages now. And is this holding the line?
Yes.
At $2.99. No,
they're
but it's like
one.
$3 for, and you just got like 6 splash pages in a 20-page story.
Well, you know what? Just if you need more time in the bathroom, call me. We'll talk. You don't have to read if you finish your comics early.
That's when I go for Saga.
I will say, I did like this. I haven't really reading Batman and Robin since probably the first issue or two. No particular reason. I just need to drop a couple of things. This is brutal. This is a big fight, and particularly the art
from Patrick Gleason is great.
Yeah.
It's great. That last panel, I kind of felt like him being like, turning to him and being like, forgive me, Father, I have sinned. I kind of wanted Batman to be like, oh, come on.
Yeah. No, fair point.
It sounds awesome. Just from flipping, it looks like it's just one long fight.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like if when this gets collected in the trade, and that's chapter 4 or 5, it's like we have this build up, we have this thing, and now we have a fight. And there was
a lot of story action in the last issue. It's all the backstory on how Bruce Wayne met this guy.
That drives me crazy. I hate stuff that's written for the trade.
You feel beat crazy.
Yeah. Well, I do think that's a good segue into our next issue, which is my pick, which is Saga number one.
Or Saga.
Ooh. Saga number one for me.
Sega number one.
Sega Genesis number one. Sonic.
Wolf
was crazy. Did you guys get Sonic? It is crazy.
Oh, man.
He is so fast. Why does he love all those rings?
The rings
I don't know.
Are
tough. What's he going to do with all those rings?
Do hedgehogs eat rings?
Yes,
what's going on?
I don't get it. This is every mom in America in like 1989. What's he after all those rings for? Is he trying to get married?
That's every mom in America in a Sega Genesis commercial.
Yeah, right.
Is what it is.
Mom, you don't get it.
And you would be like, that's great. You just shot your mom. Forgive me, Mom. I have sinned.
Pete, you say the most violent, terrible shit on this show over and over again. I say one thing, and you're like, Justin, you have a problem.
Anyway, Saga number one. This is a fantastic first issue. This is an early contender for one of my favorite first issues and single issues of the year.
Really?
It's by Brian K. Vaughan with art by Fiona Staples. It's a little hard to describe exactly
Would you say it's the Star Wars of this generation?
I did, in fact, say to you before the show that this is the Star Wars of this generation.
You said that about John Carter and the Lorax.
I said that about literally everything.
You said that about the soda you had before you drank
it. I did.
This beer is about Middle of Empire Strikes Back. Am I right?
Yeah. It's like drinking the Imperial March.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to be like right around here. It's, no!
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know when you get to the part where Han is like, I know.
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest. I had to get through all of the Phantom Menace first.
Oh, that's all
and
six?
And then Attack of the Clones.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You should be drinking an original series beer.
I got to... Anyway, Saga is great. This is a great book. This takes place in outer space. It's a mix. Well, the reason I do think it's actually very comparable to original Star Wars is because it's this amazing mix of fantasy and science fiction. You have two sides of a war, kind of a Romeo and Juliet thing going on, where one side fights with magic, the other side fights with science fiction and science and robots. But it's sort of uncharacterizable other than that.
Yep.
And what really makes this book is Fiona Staples' art and lettering, which is beautiful. Throughout the story is being told by the baby that these two characters on the cover have.
The baby's like...
From the future. Yeah, it's a lot of gibberish.
It's really confusing. Yeah. But once she finally learns English, it makes more sense.
This is going to be great at about age 2.5.
The thing that's really wonderful about it is it's her telling the story of her parents, and by the end, the thing that I really liked about it, this is spoiling a little bit for the end, but it has this emotional climax where she says, look, if you're thinking I'm the center of the story, I'm the one who's going to save the universe, I'm not. I'm just a girl who actually managed to live a long, happy life, and that's all because of these two people here.
Spoiler.
And that's where it ends, and it's this really wonderful, exciting, new way of approaching comics, I think.
Yeah.
And beyond that, like Dan mentioned, it's 40 pages of comic.
Yes!
Which is amazing for a first issue. What did you guys think?
It was totally awesome, very tripped out. Kinky as well. We shouldn't
forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was TVs. Yeah,
let's mention how kinky it is.
TVs getting it on.
Like TVs with bodies having sex.
Yeah, that's actually not an exaggeration. There are literally two TVs with bodies having sex in the book. Yeah.
Which so I was like, that, I get it. Every night I go home, I'm like, what am I going to watch? And that's what I imagine for 20 minutes. And then I just fall asleep.
And you have to inject that stuff in your eyes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Let me tell you, you can inject it in any part of your body.
Still works. What did you think about this book, Justin?
I liked it a lot. I agree. It's a nice, big, epic sci-fi. He's combining so many different elements of story here, but he's a great storyteller. The art is definitely the centerpiece. And it's funny, the pages with Fiona's lettering are sort of the most that punched the most of the of the book. So I really liked it.
Yeah, it's it really lived up to the hype, which is great.
Yeah.
All right, cool, and that's it for the stack.
Woo! I just want to because like just so I'm not like some DC bashing guy, I think Scott Snyder's Batman and Jeff Johns' Aquaman are like two of my favorite books that are out right now.
Yeah, good.
They're great.
Yeah, just...
well, we're going to edit that out so you'll think of me.
No, but it's...
we're just going to have a compilation reel about a minute where it says, I don't like Jews, bowel movement.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this is like the last show here. Thanks for going out.
All right. Now it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Boothman.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Boothman. And if it is your first time at the show, Boothman is called that and dressed this way because he lives in the booth.
Yeah,
oh,
nice.
Oh, you're taking Boothman with you, right?
Wait a second.
Oh, shit, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, we
didn't.
No. You know what?
Oh, man, this is going to be weird.
Boothman, you know what? I think we should bring you with us.
Yeah, you should come. But leave that bathrobe here.
Yeah, leave the bathrobe here.
Not now.
No, take it off. Take it off. Take it off.
This got
take
creepy.
It off.
This got real
take it off. Off. Do it.
Yay! Yeah. For those of you listening at home, he's not naked.
Dress, dress up more for the show.
This is like
dress up more for the show.
This is like watching like the final episode of like Home Improvement, and Wilson steps out from behind the shed. You're like, oh my God, Wilson!
I remember
that. In all the history of television, like the most epic thing, when I saw Wilson's face.
Well, that was the thing that was crazy. He had no bottom to his face.
Exactly.
It was terrifying.
Well, Walking Dead is a spinoff of Wilson. He was the first.
Yeah.
It became a comic. And then a TV show.
Cool. All right, Boothman, let's get questions for the last time at the pit.
First question.
Oh, fake cry.
You don't know about my emotions.
That Fair? Was great.
Yeah.
First question. Love Spider Island. Ever consider having Squirrel Island a la Squirrel Girl? And then there's like a cute face emoticon like...
Oh, great!
No,
emoticon.
We'll do like Squirrel Peninsula. So, Squirrel Archipelago.
Squirrel boat.
There you go.
Yay!
Have you ever thought about having a reverse of Spider Island, where everybody instead of getting spider powers gets responsibility powers?
Oh, that would be awesome!
Yeah, what a day in New York.
It would be nice. Raise your hand if you asked that. You can get some free comics. Let's get the
free
next
comics.
Question.
Which comic book series should be made into a one-hour TV series?
We get this every week.
Yeah.
But, Dan, I'm curious, what do you think?
Try to be such a dick about it.
Because it would be so easy to do the special effects, and you go for a kind of Quentin Tarantino 70s thing, Power Man Iron Fist. Yeah. You just have the one glowing fist, you get a guy who does karate, just bullets bouncing off him in simple strength effects. It would be awesome.
Wow. Yeah
Power Man cool. Iron Fist. I'd watch that every week.
Heroes for Hire.
Yes.
All right. Cool. We're in agreement. Any other thoughts?
Just a series of people getting murdered, like faces of death style.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, what are you even talking about?
Huh?
What has happened to you?
Pete cornered me after last week. Stick around. Stick around.
In case you didn't hear that, some guy just yelled, I want to party with you, dude.
He's murdered.
Yeah. I'll take my chances.
We have lost track of this. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's
Silver
get the
Sable
next question.
Silver Sable. But let me say, Silver Sable, one of my favorite characters. Thanks for getting her back in the book.
She is back in the book. She's through every issue of Ends of the Earth.
Awesome.
I just wanted to say shout out.
That's going to give you a lot of spank fodder.
Don't say those words.
Oh, no. I winked at the end, so it's okay. A wink?
That people still know what the words mean when you
Do
wink.
They?
It doesn't erase the grossness of the thing you just said.
Or the trueness.
Also, it's called a spank bank.
Okay.
Please.
Next question, please.
I just wanted to say the obvious answer is the Punisher. TV show.
Yeah. Yes.
I think if they were going to do a Punisher TV show, I'd like it to be some sort of vigilante cop who didn't go to Vietnam and his family hasn't died.
Yeah.
That's just my pitch.
Yeah, just a regular cop.
Who the fuck is that? Who the fuck is that?
TJ Hooker.
What kind of accent are you putting on?
That's what you just said. You were like, who the fuck is that?
Let's get the next question.
Hey, who the fuck is that?
Joe Pesci on my right over here.
All right, next question.
Who the fuck is
Who is the most underrated Spider-Man villain? Is it, I don't know, the looter?
Hypno Hustler. Yeah. Hypno Hustler will be back this year.
That's the big reveal in the 700 issue.
Yes! Yeah.
It's all been a long
All
time.
Hypno Hustler.
That's when it gets, goes bad. Anybody, it's like that's your big.
It's any, called One More Hypno Hustler.
Oh, man. Yeah.
One more hustle? One more hustle?
Yeah. And Hypno Hustler is like, I need to make a deal with the devil so Spider-Man forgets me. And Spider-Man's like, I don't know who you are now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Any underappreciated Spider-Man villains thoughts?
I just keep coming up with Stiltman.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Stiltman.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is he underappreciated?
You know who I actually liked? Did you guys, I don't know if you guys read Villains for Hire that just came out from Marvel.
Oh,
they
had
Stilt Woman. That was a lot of fun.
Lady Stiltman.
Lady Stiltman?
She's called Lady Stiltman.
Yeah, you just got corrected.
Joe Kelly came up with her. Lady Stiltman.
Just got
called that. It was take off a Lady Bullseye, so he did Lady Stiltman.
Yeah.
I know.
I think that's the joke.
Yeah, there's a little joke in there, I think.
Yeah.
If I may.
Cool. Yeah. Did you already get comics? If not, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Yeah,
Let's get the next question.
Little known fact about Stiltman before Matt Fraction killed him in The Punisher. In his previous appearance in Marvel Team-Up, written by Robert Kirkman, he's coming from just having killed a superhero off-panel. And that superhero is NFL Super Pro.
What?
Stiltman killed NFL Super Pro.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But
shit.
Doesn't he have NFL powers and the NFL will never die?
I mean, that's true. We can all back that up. So is that the seismic resurrection that we're talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
Hypno Hustler suit, NFL Super Pro.
NFL same
Super
guy.
Spider-Man
same guy.
700. Stay tuned. Next question.
Has DC's relaunch made for better story sales or both?
Definitely better sales.
Yeah, absolutely.
The figures back that up.
Just saying.
That was a door just creaking open on stage.
Wasn't Justice League number one? Like it wasn't that sales were ridiculous?
Yes. No.
Yeah, they're
he's
very
saying
huge.
Stories, perhaps.
No. I'm saying that DC has a weird kind of returnability program set up where you have to order X amount of stuff. Across titles and different titles in order and have them be at a percentage of what you ordered before for you to be able to be eligible for the returnability.
Are you saying no one's reading DC Comics?
No, what I'm saying is we haven't seen accurate tallies of the final numbers.
Still?
Yeah, let's have a recount.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, the seventh printing of Justice League One comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
So it must have sold pretty.
I understand what you're saying.
I think with you're looking especially with the guys in the top 10, your Aquamans, your Justice Leagues, I think those numbers are going to hold.
Animal Man.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to look at other stuff, and as the returns come in, you're going to see the rest of it.
Yeah.
Well, what it's done is those top tier titles, it has raised them up significantly.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
The other titles, the things that people don't want to read, they're not going to read, and they fall down precipitously.
I'm frustrated because like when I like everyone else, I tried out like all the new 52.
Yep.
And the Batman, the Scott Snyder Batman, amazing.
Yeah.
Action Comics, Aquaman. There's some great stuff in there. And the thing that was really frustrating me is like one of my favorite things, like my top five, was the Paul Jenkins Dead Man. And then it went away.
Oh. Yeah.
And I was like, I would read
pain because Jonah Hex turned into All-Star Western.
Which is great, and it's still Jonah Hex.
Nope.
He doesn't like it because it takes place in City.
But yeah. I would have read, Paul Jenkins doing Dead Man every single month.
Yeah,
they just kept going. I loved that book.
It was very good.
Yeah.
But I've been, reading Legion Lost. That's a big underseller, and I think that's pretty good. Like,
really?
I like those characters, yeah. And it's an interesting story for them.
Yeah.
I don't think the stories maybe have gotten better. Like, it's the same creators sort of doing the same stuff.
Well, DC obviously needed a very big realignment. They needed to start being able to cancel stuff. And they couldn't really do that until they had things that actually did sell well. So now they have things that sell well. They can cancel the bottom of the line, hopefully cycle in new stuff. Hopefully that can sell a little better and they can work through
it. But it's also nice that, because it felt like to me like a... a refocus on some of the main characters. Like, I don't remember having this much fun reading Wonder Woman for a while, so
yeah.
I've been pretty happy with that.
Well, you've been reading it on a roller coaster in Disney World, though.
Yes.
So
it helps.
That is a lot of fun.
Oh, but
yeah.
Just like Aquaman was so off my radar.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
I can't wait every month. Yeah. What's Aquaman up to?
And Animal Man. I haven't really been a big fan ever.
Animal Man Swamp Thing, that's a big success.
The Grant Morrison run? No.
Really? Be honest. Have you read it?
No.
Who the fuck is that? It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's not the accent that you're doing. Raise your hand if you ask that. Free comics. Let's get the next question.
Boop, boop.
What do you think The Room would be like as a graphic novel?
Wow.
For those of you who don't know, The Room is a cult film that plays in Los Angeles. And
New York.
And is it in New York now, too?
It did before, much more often.
But it's terrible.
It's like a purposely very bad movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that would be fun as a one-off or something like that. Was there ever a Rocky Horror comic? That kind of feels like it would be sort of the same thing.
Yes,
there was. We have confirmation from our Rocky Horror fan. Expert.
Would the comic be like poorly drawn and like just covered in staples?
Yes.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Good. There you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. And I think, do we have more packs? We have a bunch?
All right,
let's get the next question.
Lots more.
What will he do if Community is not renewed?
No!
I don't know. Keep watching TV?
Yes.
Not to be glib, I love Community.
I'll just watch season 3 on a loop until they bring it back, along with my Firefly. 6 seasons in a movie.
Did you guys read Ferris number 1 from Vertigo? In the Fables universe, Bill Willingham established that there are actually 7 seasons of Firefly.
Yeah, that was such a funny, weird thing.
Yeah, it was a weird joke to play on, but I enjoyed that. If Community doesn't come back, I don't know. You have the shows that are really good, and you can stick with those.
Yeah, but Community
great
is
if it does
one
come
of
back.
The greats.
Mm. What?
Yep. Community is one of the greats.
Do you go to Dan Harmon's Tumblr?
Sure.
Yeah.
Isn't that It's great. Did you see they put up the whiteboards for the Chaos Theory episode from the writing room? And you're like, oh, that's so awesome.
My favorite thing they ever done, which is amazing. I don't know if you guys saw the video of this, but they had in each of the 3 seasons, they had somebody say Beetlejuice once. Yes. And the third time somebody says Beetlejuice was the Halloween episode. A guy dressed as Beetlejuice walked by in the background. That's an amazing three-season.
Did you see the episode where Abed had a sea story and it was always out of focus in the background?
Well, here's the thing about that. Just actually to mention about that, the sea story was somebody giving birth and Abed really was helping them give birth in the background. That was, I think, 9 months after their sex ed episode. So the couple who hooked up there had a baby 9 months later.
And then it comes back to play so he can deliver Shirley's baby. And it's all...
Finally, the continuity that most of America has demanded has reached our television.
I mean, they do amazing stuff on
that
show.
Yeah, it's a very good show.
If that goes off the air, that's just it says a lot of bad things about America.
Wow!
Whoa!
America.
If Community's 4th season isn't a central issue in the presidential campaign this year, I have no more faith in our electoral process.
What a great quote! It says a lot of bad things about America.
Cool. Well, it's great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Raise your hand if you ask that.
Matt Justin's kind of great, real great.
Take it as you will. Raise your hand. You're going to get some free comics. I think we are going to have to jam through the rest of these questions. We're going to do a lightning round for the rest. So first answer is always correct.
Lightning round.
All right. Well, there's one question I actually cannot ask. It's about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
yes.
Don't worry, nobody say anything.
Nope, everyone shut up because this guy.
Yeah, Pete doesn't know.
And he's a big.
Oh!
He's a huge.
We're
going to
talk about
fan.
It in like a couple of seconds.
I want to watch like a stop motion of your face as this is happening.
This is freaking me out.
Yeah, I'm really excited. That you don't know.
Cool, let's get the next question.
Okay, next question.
Let's just talk about this.
May be what pushes Pete over the edge.
What a great final episode of the Do it. We're gonna do it.
Just
There's a 60% chance I'm gonna die in the next.
All right, let's get the next question. We're gonna get to it in a second.
All right.
This is great.
You want to party with this guy? It's about to happen.
Well, who asked the turtle question? Just raise your hand. You should get some comments.
Yeah. All right, let's get the next question.
I can't wait. It's going to be like the high school science experiment where you pour some baking soda onto Pete's head.
Yeah.
Okay, he's who would boiling. Win this? I don't like this question. Uh-huh. Who would win in a prison shower rape fight?
Oh God!
Galactus or the anti-monitor?
Wow,
Galactus.
Well, he is devourer of worlds.
Yeah, nice. He has a 22-page comic about that.
It's all Kirby Crackle.
Yeah, it's actually all splash pages.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pete.
I don't like
not
any
a lot of
this.
Story there.
All right, last question. Wait, who asked the one? Yeah, who asked? Yeah. Oh, the murdering guy asked the prison rape question.
All right, let's get the next question.
Okay, last one. Boothman is Boothman. Well, am I? But Pete, what superhero would Justin be? Justin, what superhero would Alex be? Alex, what superhero would Pete be? Dan Slott, what team would they be?
Oh. Holy question,
oh,
Matt.
They'd be the all-winners squad.
You sure it wouldn't be the losers?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys.
You would be Cypher. We know that.
Yep.
No. Well, there already is a Cypher.
You would be...
You'd be Cypher Jr.
Thanks.
Who's the most annoying Robin?
Up to you to decide.
Jason Todd.
Jason Todd like became a badass.
No, but Damian's kind of cool too.
Yeah, I don't want to be him cool. The worst Robin is who you would have.
Oh, that would be my name. The worst Robin.
The worst Robin. Yeah.
Pete.
You would
Pete
be like a swirling Galactus-style cloud from the Hulk.
That's like the worst thing you could say to somebody.
Did they ever have tribbles in a comic? Because you'd be kind of like a tribble.
Yeah, like a tribble.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It's a Star Trek thing.
You're just very hairy.
Yeah. And they're always sticking
and
stuff.
And they self-reproduce because they're born pregnant.
And we know just that was like, true about you.
You guys want to fight me?
That was a big medical problem. For
all
me.
Right, raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics, and that's it for your audience questions.
Oh,
thank you, Boothman.
Tell me we're doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Okay,
thing.
Well,
it's two things. We got to do one thing first. Okay. Our next section is the Week in Geek.
Yeah. Woo!
And in the Week of Geek, we're going to hit you with some geek culture topics. I think you know what the second one is going to be, but the first one, season finale of The Walking Dead, was this past season. So, spoilers, hell, probably. I will just say right off the bat, I think that was my favorite episode of The Walking Dead since the pilot.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
It was 100%.
I couldn't stand two episodes ago. With Dale.
Yeah.
I thought that was like one of the worst ones they did. And then the one after that, I know some people really liked it. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
And then the finale came and it redeemed like the only two episodes I didn't like.
It was also really artistic. They did a lot of really powerful, great shots that I was very happy with.
Yeah. I thought after the first 20 minutes, which was just them rolling around and blasting zombies nonstop and Laurie coming in and out of the house being like, anybody see my son? No, I'm going to go back in the house and check.
Oh, I love she checked the bedroom out. A lot. She came up and down that stairs a lot.
Yeah. But my wife turned to me after that. I was like, well, that was the best episode of The Walking Dead ever. Which I was like, yeah, that 20 minutes was amazing. That's everything you want from a zombie TV show.
It was awesome. If you were counting bullets,
that was Herschel's shotgun.
I was like damn.
80 shots in it.
Yeah. There was no like cutting away or anything.
No,
they just were unrepentant about being like, no, he can shoot as much as he fucking wants.
It's Herschel. Well,
it's his farm.
It's his farm.
His farm.
It's my farm.
When they all drove back up. When you were like, we gotta go, and he's talking to Carl, we're gonna just leave, and he's like, Dad, blah, blah. And then they drove. I was like, oh my God,
and hiding from the preppy zombie.
Yeah. Yeah. The sweater
great.
Vest. That was, yeah.
Sweater vest.
That was the Rick Santorum.
There were a couple of mistakes in the episode. That zoom in at when everybody's leaving to the windshield, to the word Sophia. I was like, come on.
Yeah,
we
like,
know.
Get
we get it already.
Well, also, like, when the poor Herschel's poor son is in the thing, and Rick's like, oh, is he still alive? And just, like, two splashes, like, bucket splashes of blood go on the windshield. Yeah. I was like, oh,
if
not.
If you were at Herschel's farm and you had, like, less than three lines of dialogue this year, you're gone.
Oh, yeah.
T-Dog.
T-Dog was lucky.
Still in the house.
Oh.
I love T-Dog.
Representing.
But,
that part where it was like that one guy driving, I was like, who that? I said that to my wife, like, who's that guy? And he immediately died when he was driving. I was like, oh.
Well, and let's be honest, that blonde woman that died was like my third or fourth favorite blonde woman on that show. So, like, I was sad to see her.
Now, can we talk about the big moment that actually made me stand on my couch and, like, scream? Like,
stand on your couch?
Yes.
Stand on your
couch? Yeah, I jumped up on my
couch. Tom Cruised.
I totally did. Yeah. We're going to spoil it.
Yeah.
Is that all right with everybody?
We spoiled
Michonne.
Michonne, yeah.
Michonne shows up. That
awesome.
Was amazing.
Very cool, yeah.
That was great. That was, I literally
it was
like,
so
wee!
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I will say, the Rick's voice is bordering on Christian Bale Batman.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm running this show.
I loved his speeches. I thought his speeches were really cool, at least in terms of how they were written. No. What I liked about them is that they weren't him being like, what I did was right. It was him trying to convince himself what he did was right.
Exactly.
Which I thought was really cool.
What I like is whenever the subject of Shane comes up, he's all like walking eggshells around Carl. He does one. And then finally, yo, I fucking killed Shane. Yeah. Suck it up, kid.
I killed my friend for you was an amazing line.
Yeah.
I don't know. He became very unlikable, that last speech. I was definitely with everyone else being like, yo, fuck this guy.
But I think it's kind of an interesting arc. It's interesting to see where that's going. And, I mean, we kind of know where things are going now in the third season. So he's clearly going.
We know the location.
Yes, we literally know where it is.
Does anybody else want Lori to die? Was anybody like, oh,
Lori's. The one thing I will say about Rick's speech when he's facing towards the camera and she's behind him, her like, I'm acting in several different ways was real annoying. But
In the comic, I feel like Rick's very likable throughout, even all the bad things that he does. In this series, I'm like, I'm starting to dislike him greatly.
Now, what do you guys think about the cliffhanger at the end? Obviously, we're heading towards the prison. You guys excited about that?
It's awesome. It's like, this is a very strange prison in this comic because they haven't driven that far away from the farm. They were looking for all this stuff forever, and so you want Herschel to go, well, you know, there's a prison just mile down. You can't miss it.
Except to say, there's a prison a few miles down the road.
It's my prison.
It's my prison.
That's where I became an alcoholic, is my one character.
Hey, has anyone seen Carl?
Yeah.
Yes!
All right. Guys, and also we're obviously going to see a lot more Walking Dead at this point. The last the last episode of The Walking Dead, 9 million people watched it.
It was as big as American Idol.
Biggest basic cable ratings ever for any show.
Which means they'll give a third of its budget to Mad Men.
Right, exactly. But we're going to see a lot more of it. We'll obviously talk about the season when it comes up. Let's move to our second news item, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, I don't know if you guys heard, there's a big budget Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that's coming.
Get out of the way!
Now, Michael Bay is going to be producing the movie, so they've been working on it for a while. They worked on the script. He came out. Dan Slott's getting a picture of Pete ready, so I'm going to give him a section here.
A short film.
But in the movie, you ready, Dan?
Okay.
In the movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, he's come out. He said they tweaked things a little bit, so now the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are aliens.
What?
Oh, no. Wait,
yeah,
wait.
Yeah.
You know, beloved characters, Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello.
Yeah. They're not mutants or turtles.
Yeah, they're not.
They're aliens from another planet. For those of you listening at home, Pete actually cut his own head off.
Oh. Yeah.
And walking.
And they don't.
Aliens.
And they don't have shells either.
No. Right. You gotta
and they're not teenagers. They're like 45 years old.
They're actually samurai.
They also...
And they're casting the guys from Comic Book Men. Oh, as the turtles.
Come on.
They sit around, they're like, I love chomping on burritos.
Like, you can't be so... You can't be so famous.
No more pizza.
You can't be so famous that you can just fucking rape something. You can't just...
Yes, you can.
Yeah. George
Michael Lucas. Bay.
Come on. I mean, that's... That guy has continued to ruin my childhood. He fucked me on Transformers, and now he's going to fuck me on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Come on.
To be fair, you guys, Michael Bay fucked Pete during
this
Transformers.
Like
they got in one of those prison fights we were talking about.
God.
It's just as cool if they're aliens.
It's great.
It's just as cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Pete has gone from anger to denial. Yeah. He's now at bargaining.
There's a couple more details. They come from a planet called Turtletron. There's the turtle bots and the Decepticurtles.
Yeah.
And Optimus Splinter is their leader. So that's going to be kind of exciting. And they say, I love being an alien.
That's their catchphrase for the movie. Yeah.
Why? I mean, did he say why? I couldn't get it to work? Like,
yep.
They didn't believe.
Well, he actually came out, he said this at some sort of tech speech or investor speech or
WonderCon.
Something like that. WonderCon?
I think it was WonderCon.
Tech speech.
Investor speech.
This may be
Thank
a departure.
You for your money for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I really appreciate it. I'm going to take care of this baby.
Oh, no. But he's come out like today or yesterday going, I'm working with the creators of the show and they blessed this.
Ooh, you know, yeah. Who is he working with?
I like Eastman and Laird.
Neither of them.
Neither of them? Good.
Yeah, neither
of them.
Way.
Well, do you know that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were created as like a joke?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when he said he's working with the creator, he's working with the guy who created the ooze.
Yeah. The secret.
I just can't get it to work this time.
The secret of the ooze is that an alien spaceship lands on it, and then the turtles walk out of that spaceship.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Well, anyway, sorry, Pete.
That's rough.
You gonna be all right?
Well, I'm not gonna see that movie.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, you
no,
will.
I'm not.
Yes, you will.
Yes, you will.
No, I didn't. I stopped seeing the Transformers movie.
You stopped seeing Transformers?
Yeah,
after the third one, right?
After the first one, I was like, no, this isn't for me, so I'm not going to see it.
All right, well.
Their names are now Lichtenstein.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the Week in Geek. Guys, we are going to move on to our next section, which is trivia, and that we're going to turn it over to Crushed LePage. Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy, because I was like worried that I was going to say move your iPad, because I was thinking about going through a rage of just trashing the stage, but it didn't work. All right. Guys, this part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Wait for it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Thank you for coming to the show. Yes, guy, you can barely hold his shit together. Come on up.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your name, sir?
Mike.
Mike, audience, Mike.
Mike
for the mic.
Mike, take this mic.
Hi, I'm the prison rape guy.
Here, yes.
Awful proud of that, Mike. This is being recorded.
I'm glad we got to meet you. All right, so how this is going to work is here is your $25 gift card. You will be winning momentarily. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You get it right, go 3 for 3, gift card yours. Okay. Yeah! Woo. Yes!
Yeah.
Okay, so today's trivia is on 3 different subjects. The first one is going to be about on Dan Slott's Amazing Spider-Man, which he's doing an unbelievable job with. The second question is going to be on our show here at the theater that's ending. And the third question is a little bio on Dan Slott.
Potluck.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Here we go.
Really laid it out there.
Yeah, I did. Okay, so here we go. Question number 1. Thank you, Boothman. Recently, Spider-Man went to space to save... .. Is it A, Nova... B, John Jameson, or C, Private Ryan?
Nova.
Or would you wait and listen for a second? Because A is not correct. B would be the correct answer. John Jameson, who's an astronaut. That's why he was in space. So you would say...
John Jameson.
Yeah! All right, here we go. Just for future, wait for the hint. Okay. Comic Club at the Pit. Which has not happened at our live show? Which one is not true? Justin and Pete were Jedi married, A. B, Alex showed his secret love pictures of Joss Whedon.
My ass just clenched.
Or C, Pete finally killed Justin. Which has not happened.
The show's not over yet.
Yeah, it's true. The show is not over yet. Is it A, Jedi marriage, B, secret love pictures of Joss Whedon, or C, me finally killing Justin?
You have not iced Justin.
That is correct.
Thank you. First off, let me say thank you, Pete.
I have yet to party with him.
Yeah, exactly. All right, which comic in Dan Slott's illustrious career has he not written? Which one has he not worked on or written? Is it A, Disney's Aladdin number 2, B, Earthworm Jim number 1, or C, Tiger Beat number 4? Very popular teen magazine.
They numbering so those now?
Yes, yeah, so they have always been numbering.
I missed an issue. I'm way behind. Yeah.
So it's either C, because that's the only one that's correct.
C.
C is correct. $25 free dollars for you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice.
All right.
Awesome. I just want to mention that our contestant there was wearing a Red Lantern Rage shirt.
Yeah.
Which is pretty appropriate. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. There we go. Yeah. Guys.
How's Return of the Jedi going?
pretty good. There's some weird fuzzy stuff here at the end.
That's the Chub Chub song. That
oh, okay. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Batman. It's really
number bad. 7.
Yes,
right?
Batman yeah. number 7, yeah. It's amazing. Scott
yeah,
Snyder.
And Scott Snyder has actually been on Twitter teasing that there are huge things that are happening in this
Come
issue.
Come on, how much more huge stuff can he have?
I don't know.
It's just all everything that's going to set up the Court of the Owls big crossover.
Yeah,
thing. Oh,
man. Yeah, it's very exciting.
There you go. Justin.
I'm looking forward to Infinite Vacation, number 4, I believe, of 5 is coming out tomorrow, which is a great series, sort of a weird series. It's about multiple universes, and there's this one guy who is across the dimensions. His character's being killed, and he needs to basically save the day.
Yeah,
but I don't understand the vacation part of that.
It's a program on this in this comic on this Earth where you can go on vacation into another Pete LePage who's like happier in another dimension.
I don't think that exists on any dimension.
Well, then you don't understand how you're.
That's like, the world where there's still ooze.
Wouldn't you want to go to that world where Michael Bay is making a sweet...
Where Michael Bay doesn't exist?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. I'm looking forward to Rocketeer Adventures number 2 is coming out. Was that your...
Yes, that was...
Oh, okay. We can both pick
you guys,
it.
You guys have taken, like, the two I was going to... Rocketeer Adventures and Batman 7.
Yeah.
And because the editor's here, Deadpool.
Rocketeer Adventures.
We should say,
for those
though, that Daniel Way's Deadpool is amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Rocketeer Adventures, by the way, for those of you who aren't reading it, this is the second series. It's awesome. It's a bunch of fantastic artists and writers paying homage to Dave Stevens' Rocketeer. Every issue so far, that initial 4-issue series, was just delightful. It was wonderful.
It's very good.
And this one brings together, I think Peter David is doing a story in there.
Darwin Cook.
Not in this issue. I think he's doing
one later.
But, yeah.
And there's Mark Waid, Chris Samnee coming
out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mark Waid and Chris Samnee are doing an entirely separate Rocketeer series,
project,
which sounds like the best thing ever. So, Dan, you'd plug Deadpool, Rocketeer.
And Batman 7. But also... Dear God, you know, Amazing Spider-Man, Ends of the Earth.
Dear God. Amazing Spider-Man, 682. Anything else you want to plug? Anything people should check out? Are you signing anywhere tomorrow?
That, yeah, I'm signing at Jim Hanley's from 6 to 8.
Awesome.
Nice. Yes.
All right, there you go.
Yay.
So if you're in New York, definitely check that out. Couple of things before we go. Obviously, this is our last show here at the Pit. But coming up next week, we're going to be at Pianos. It's going to be 7:30. Show is going to be totally free, so get there early.
Free.
And hang out late because there are 3 awesome bars there to hang out at. They have a good burger.
There's a happy hour where they serve burgers for $5 and a salad that has an olive-based dressing.
What? Oh, nice.
That's very specific.
Also, in terms of guests, we're going to be...
Let me stick with the dressing description, Alex.
We're going to have some amazing guests throughout the spring and summer. We have Al Madrigal from The Daily Show is going to be one of our guests, which we're very excited about.
Yep.
We're also going to have a ton of guests from Saturday Night Live and other TV shows who are going to be on. So check our website for the full schedule when it goes up. But just know, 7:30, Pianos. It's free, and you'll be able to watch it. What?
Pianos.
Great. Yeah. You're really learning how to say that.
I'll get it by the end of it.
It's going to be going up on the Nerdist site on Wednesday. So go and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yeah, youtube.com/Nerdist. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Definitely do that. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests that we have on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to everybody for making this a
fun. Yeah, definitely want to say thank you to the Pit for having us here for 5 years. This is awesome theater.
Over 5 years.
Yeah, over 5 years, which is crazy. They put up with us, and now we're going to burn the theater down.
Yeah, let's burn it to the ground.
A couple of people we want to thank before we go for this last show here at the Pit. We want to thank Dan for being on the show.
Yeah. Boothman!
James, the Boothman.
No, Boothman, no more.
Boothman is dead.
Yeah, Boothman is dead. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We'll see you next Tuesday at 7:30 at Pianos.
Follow us there.
Thank you guys.